It's a crowded party, a veritable who's who of Palm Beach society, ready to close out the social season. But I don't care about any of that. I cut through the crowd with a single purpose: to find Senator Nicholas Preston. He's standing on the fringe alone, a drink of something dark and heavy in his hands. I was prepared to finagle some privacy between us, to separate him from his coterie of friends and political mates. But to find him alone like this is a blessed opportunity I can't miss. I walk toward him, and as I do, our gazes connect across the room. His eyes widen, and he takes a step forward, and he freezes, his expression changing as though he saw an apparition only to realize it wasn't real after all. It isn't the first time I've been told I resemble my sister Beatrice. I close the distance between us on slightly shaky legs, filled with the unmistakable sensation that I'm inserting myself in a drama that's already started. I stop right in front of him, offering a silent prayer that we haven't just become an object of fascination for the entire room. "I'm sorry, I know we've seen each other around, but I realize we've never been formally introduced. My sister, Beatrice?"
"I know who you are,"
he interjects, none of the legendary Preston charm I've heard about on visible display. He looks a bit terrified, and he clears his throat, his gaze drifting down to the glass in his hand as though he'd like to take a swig for courage. I've never cared for him. What little I knew of him was that he was engaged to another woman, and somehow Beatrice became his mistress. I never liked his position on Cuba much either. His rumored closeness to the late President Kennedy, who seemingly abandoned us after the Bay of Pigs. But looking at him now, it's impossible to miss how he's changed since I last saw him. His tuxedo isn't as impeccably tailored as I remember. His body leaner than it used to be. His skin paler than it was. His eyes devoid of that twinkle that used to appear when he'd cast his gaze on Beatrice. He looks like a man who's lost a great deal, and being no stranger to loss myself, it's almost enough to make me feel sorry for him. Almost. "Perhaps if we could go somewhere in private," I reply, more out of consideration for his reputation than mine. As a married woman who rarely engages with society these days, I hardly attract the sort of attention others do. But at present, Nicholas Preston is a single, wealthy United States senator with political aspirations for more, and everyone's eyes are perpetually on him. He nods, and I follow him from the room, down a hallway, and into a small library just off the main wing of the house. He closes the door behind us and walks over to an elegant desk, leaning against the edge of the wood.
"Is Beatrice all right?"
he asks without preamble. "I don't know. She's in Spain. Our sister Elisa used to speak with her nearly daily, but we haven't heard anything from her in weeks." He says nothing, but there is the barest flinch at the news that Beatrice is gone, and he looks like a man bracing himself for another blow. "Did you know she was in Spain?" I ask. "Have you heard from her? Did she leave you?" Elisa thinks she has, but Beatrice refuses to talk about it. "Are you—"
"Wait."
He holds up a hand.
"Stop for a moment, please."
"I'm worried. We're all worried. It's not like Beatrice to just disappear like this." I've been worried about Beatrice for a long time now, even as she's made it clear that she wants to make her own way in the world. Even as she's thrown herself into Cuban politics in exile. Her determination to see Fidel Castro removed from power and vengeance won for our brother Alejandro all-consuming.
"Doesn't your family have a cousin in Spain?" he asks. "Has she checked on Beatrice?"
Sometimes it's easy to forget that he and Beatrice shared a life together once. That he was one of the most important people in my sister's world, if not the most important person.